I am blessed with so much that I often do not recognize the ordinary gifts that are all around me in my life. I take them for granted. It takes some special event, some dramatic occurrence, to refocus my attention so I appreciate and give thanks for all I have. I remember such an experience. One morning back in the late November of 1991, I was living in Evanston, Illinois, and I turned on the television looking for a weather report. What I found instead was a live broadcast from a Royal Air Force base in England. Terry Waite, the Archbishop of Canterbury's special envoy to the Middle East, was speaking. He had just been freed after being a hostage in Lebanon for nearly 5 years. He said, "I think you can imagine that after 1,763 days in chains, it is an overwhelming experience to come back and receive your greetings. From the bottom of my heart, thank you." He spoke in moving detail of his captivity. "I was kept," Mr. Waite said, "in total isolation in an unlit room for 4 years. I saw no one and spoke to no one apart from a cursory word with my guards when they brought me food. But then a year ago, out of the blue, a small radio appeared. I listened to the BBC World Service, which helped keep me alive." Recalling a moment in his captivity, he said that one day, out of the blue, a guard came with a postcard from a stranger. For Terry Waite, this postcard was one of the greatest gifts that he had ever received. It showed a stained glass window in Bedford, England. The window illustrates the prison where the nonconformist minister, John Bunyan, was held for 12 years from 1660 to 1672. Terry Waite said, "I looked at that card and I thought, my word, Bunyan, you're a lucky fellow. You've got a window out of which you can look, see the sky. And here I am in a dark room. You've got pen and ink. You can write. But here I am. I've got nothing. And you've got your own clothes and a table and a chair." He turned the card over, and the message from the stranger read, "We remember. We will not forget. We shall continue to pray for you and to work for all people who are detained around the world." So then Waite said, "Never, ever despise these simple actions. Something somewhere will get through to people you are concerned about, as it got through to me and my fellows eventually. Deprived of all the comforts that we take for granted, Terry Waite and the other hostages fell back finally on the joys of the ordinary. Exposed to brutality, to deprivation, ordinary things, a postcard, a small radio, help them fight long against the total spiritual deterioration. And in 1991, their captors finally released them, freeing them to try to make sense of what had happened and to make sense also of life, its meaning, its purpose. In November of 1991, in a car on the road to Damascus, Terry removed his blindfold. He experienced the strangeness of being able to look around freely for the first time in years. About the experience, he wrote, "The beauty of the stars, unseen for so long, suddenly hit me. I leaned forward, peering up through the windshield awkwardly. After a minute or two, I heard the driver exchange a few words with the three agents in the back seat. Everyone laughed. I looked over, and he pointed up. There was a clear sunroof above me. I spent much of the 45-minute ride leaning backward. The Big Dipper, Orion's Belt, where's Cassiopeia? So when I am tempted to feel sorry for myself, when I am tempted to complain because my life is not always perfect, I try to remember ordinary gifts that remind me of my connection to others. Where do we get our own deep inner serenity, our own courage? A postcard with a few words written on it sustained Terry Waite's courage. The card said, "We remember, we shall not forget." A small radio and the voices of the World Service of the BBC sustained Mr. Waite's inner serenity. When he was freed, his first act was to look upward at the stars in the night sky. Now this morning, many of you have helped me in developing a communion of memories. Last Monday, I invited everyone on the church email list to complete the following sentence in 30 words or less. One of the nicest gifts I have ever received was, and everything you sent me is appropriate that I can say on Sunday morning. I have made a few small edits to remove names, and I've asked Sarah Anderson to help me read your words.
When our first child was about 6 months old, happily lying between us in a bed one morning, my husband said, "Thank you for giving him to me."
An impromptu dance with my husband in the middle of a restaurant where there wasn't dancing. The piano player randomly played the song from our wedding. Not in my husband's character at all.
Marrying my third husband on December 21st, 1986, he was warm, kind, funny, and loving.
A tie between my wife's yes to me and her I do at our wedding, both in 1958.
From my uncle, a near hermit who roamed our woods in Upper Michigan, away from home, homesick, I opened his small package. Inside was a clutch of arbutus, my favorite, carefully packed in woodland moss. 55 years on, it still makes me cry.
When my late partner discovered how welcoming the Unitarian Universalist Sarasota community could be to our two-mom family back in the 1980s, it was a gift from your hearts that keeps on giving even today. I am ever grateful.
The universe gave me my mother. She gave me her Irish humor and a confidence that I would always land on my feet no matter how far I might fall.
My mother-in-law, who disapproved of me when I was 20, but told me when I was 60 that she wished her son had married me first.
My mom made me 4 different kinds of soups: green chili, corn and chicken chowder, and 2 others for my birthday. 5 little containers of each soup, so I wouldn't have to cook for 20 days.
To be able to follow a passion of mine and count whales as part of a scientific study in the country of Toga for 2 months.
Sometimes our greatest gifts are given unintentionally. I'm grateful for the genes, values, and worldview I received from my parents.
Meeting a man from Ohio in 1965 at a German carnival ball, a band leader in the United States Army, he became my inspiration to travel to the United States and explore his homeland.
When a group of tennis friends in the Washington area threw a surprise farewell party for me and even serenaded me.
A Christmas tree of lights, Lunar New Year's decorations, and a foil star on a plotted fur my Taiwanese neighbors put together to surprise a young serviceman far from home.
An almost free college education. In 1960, college tuition in New York City was about $30 per semester. I could work part-time and pay for my education myself.
The opportunity to serve my community, my Unitarian Universalist Church, and the arts.
From our son, who traveled a long distance to see his grandmother and present her with her first great-grandchild shortly before she died.
A totally surprise visit for Christmas by my son and daughter-in-law who live in Alaska and I seldom get to see.
A recently written article by a friend's daughter about my husband's July memorial. She wrote about what she learned from the experience about ending well.
The experience of celebrating Christmas with all the pageantry of the Catholic Church with the Sisters of Providence at my then school, Our Lady of the Lake University.
From President Lyndon Johnson, the President's War on Poverty launched the Neighborhood Youth Corps, which allowed me to obtain my first paid job at age 14 as a records clerk at the VA hospital.
I was assigned guard duty at the Marine Barracks in Norfolk from midnight to 4 a.m. on Christmas morning, 1959, my first Christmas away from home. It was very quiet and very dark, and as I made my rounds, I sang every Christmas carol I could remember. It was very nostalgic, but the gift was in learning the importance of being with family and loved ones whenever possible.
I love singing the Messiah. The volunteers who have created and sustained the Sarasota Choral Society for many years give me the annual gift of a chance to practice and then sing it with an orchestra, soloist, and trained choir.
Healing and good health. This is the result of suffering a herniated disc and taking 9 months to recover. I expect anyone with a serious illness or injury would say the same.
Looking back on my life, the greatest gifts have been my children. They continue to bring great amounts of joy, and now one of them has produced a cheerful grandson.
I thank all of you who contributed. Each of your words encouraged me to think of my own life and all that I have to be thankful for. If we can open ourselves to the experience, each day is a new and fresh gift. This day can be a gift of feeling deeply, of talking, of singing, of tasting the beauty and the grandeur of the world. Each day is a gift in which we encounter things and people that contribute to the richness of our lives.